on Racing HQ. Racing HQ. Racing HQ. Here's On The Pace.
Lazarus has raced up to Tiger Tara. Lazarus, Tiger Tara. Chicago Bull can't get there. Lazarus in front. Chicago Bull goes to second. But it's the great New Zealander, Lazarus. Lazarus has won the Inter Dominion.
28 to 11, Sky Sports Radio. Let's go On The Pace. The man who knows all about what's happening in the gig and in front of it is Greg Hayes. Morning, Hazy.
Good morning to you, Cozzy. We've got a big show today. I'm going to catch up with Duncan McPherson. We had Duncan on the show going back around the time when Maori Time took off to Sweden to compete in the Elite Lop, and Duncan was a big supporter of Maori Time to get her across there through Aldebaran Park. Well, a massive performance for one of Duncan's bred horses. In fact, the fastest ever Australian bred trotter won in America last week. He went, previously, he went 155.2 winning at Pocono Downs, but he won at the Red Mile on late last week. And I'm going to catch up with Duncan this morning. He's over in America at the moment. The horse is due to race again on Friday morning, our time, at about 5 to 5 in the morning. But I thought we'd catch up with Duncan, and he is on top of the world with Aldebaran Walkabout absolutely flying. Interesting story. The horse actually finished second past the post, but as a result of the horse don't let him pacing down the straight, they relegated it. So Aldebaran Walkabout was declared the winner. So we'll catch up with Duncan on the show today. Want to speak with Tim Butt today. Better Match went around in the Kilmore Cup last Thursday night. It was his first time that they dipped the toe into the free-for-all ranks. The horse never got into the race. It was basically set up for the horses that were on the front end. There was just no speed on. Better Match had to go three wide by himself, and at his first go in open company, it was always going to be very tough for him. I noticed that the Inter Dominion nominations are out. He's obviously been nominated for that, but we just might touch base and find out what the plans are now, because they were trying to get him into the New Zealand Cup, but I would suggest that he'll be well down the rankings in that. So we'll speak with Tim. He's also nominated another two horses for the Inter Dominion. Italian Delight is one, and Let It Ride is the other, and no Myfield Marshall in the Inter Dominion. And I'm going to catch up this morning with Michael Brown as well, and he's going to tell us about the Indigenous Drivers series that is underway in New South Wales. We'll also have a look at what happened at Yagari yesterday. But first up, all the way from the States, is Duncan McPherson, who is one very proud owner of a talented two-year-old trotter by the name of Aldebaran Walkabout, who was simply stunning last week, came from a near impossible position to win at the Red Mile. Previously had trotted 155.2 for a mile, so making him the fastest ever two-year-old bred trotter in Australia. And Duncan's joining me on the show to have a chat. Morning, Duncan.
Greg, good morning. Well, it's good evening over here, but good morning to you.
Mate, you must be on top of the world with a very talented trotter in the ownership at the moment by the name of Aldebaran Walkabout.
Yeah, he's a big, raw-boned, fully American-bred two-year-old that we planned to breed to a January birth time a couple of years ago, and the fairy tale of breeding him and then buying the mare in 2010. Cantab Hall mare at Lexington, where we are now, and then racing her with Chris Lang. She went sub 2 minutes at Melton, and then we had a dream, and the dream was to put her in foal to Muscle Hill, and Danny and Melinda Thackeray did the job at the farm and looked after the foal when it was born, and we then prepped him for the yearling sale with our yearling sales videos that we did, and sent the video up to Jonas Cernison at Team JC in New Jersey, and he liked the horse, and we loaded him up in May 2017, unbroken, and sent him to the other side of the world. And Jonas has worked with him, and he came out at his second start at Poconos and won by 13 lengths with the earplugs in 55.2, and then came out here the other night at Lexington and smashed him in the Bluegrass 6 lengths behind at the 500. And Andrew McCarthy drove him a treat, and he just unwound down the outside. And the one in front broke. Paced and we got it on protest, but winners are grinners up here, mate.
He looks like he's got unbelievable closing speed and made up a lot of ground in the final 500-600 metres of the event last week. What are the plans with him? Is he staked for everything?
Yeah, we were very lucky when we worked out that we were going to send him up here. We fully staked him in America for everything possible. He's staked for the. He's obviously done the won the Bluegrass. He's in the International Stallion Stakes this week, which ironically, Elder Baron Eagle, who now stands in Australia, won this event 4 years ago for us up here. And then we either go to the Kindergarten or the Breeders' Crown at Poconos, and he likes Poconos because that's where he's achieved his all-time mark. And then obviously next year, if you live the dream, we head for the Hambo. But he's a big raw bone boy who needs a bit more time, but he's blistering speed over the last 200. Andrew McCarthy was hanging on just to get in there. And we've got a bad draw on, or not a bad draw, we've got a visitor's draw. We've drawn eight, but we'll drop back. And if he can get a couple of lengths closer than he was at the 600 next week, well, I'll certainly know he's around.
So you're obviously looking towards the end of this season and even maybe as a talking about a three-year-old. What sort of splash has he created over there? Has there been any people kicking tyres wanting to buy him?
Yeah, it's very interesting because the yearling sales are on at Lexington where I bought his mother in 2010. And I went out there with Jonas Cernison today. And as you do, you inspect yearlings. And I've pretty much been overwhelmed by the number of people who have come up and commented. They can't believe that an Australian two-year-old trotter bred in Australia is up here and competing with the best of them. And they're just bewildered. It's never been done to their knowledge up here. And to be racing at the Red Mile, the home of trotting, if you like, it's the meet that everyone wants to win at. And for him to do what he did the other day and the reception that he got when we got back. And the Aussie flag was, we took the flag up on the whim that we might be able to put it out there, and Melinda and I carried the flag off the track. It was amazing.
It's a great story. Obviously, you're a massive supporter of the trotter, and especially taking the Australian trotter overseas. I mentioned at the top of the show, you were a big part of the Maori time going across to Sweden. You got behind John Mead and Sparkling Success. Unfortunately, that didn't take place, but Chris Venozio and John Mead, they've been over there in the States after all the plans, and they were they at the races? Have you been able to catch up with them?
Well, the beauty of it was that John and Chris are staying with Jonas Cernison, which we organised before they came up, and they've been driving track work, and Chris, John and Melinda have all sat behind Walkabout as he's been doing his cold laps in the mornings, and the euphoria that we had when with John and Chris and Melinda to four of us to be up here. And I guess it's a great time for John and Chris. While Sparkling didn't get up here, we've got our Sparkling Success jackets and hats on and our Walkabout hats, and everyone knows that Australia is coming to America to take them on up here. And I think it's a credit to everyone in the trotting industry in Australia to understand what impact we can make on the world scene. And we're definitely doing it. And for this fella, as a two-year-old, to come up here and do what he did, it's just an amazing outcome.
Do you think the floodgates are about to crash open with this, you know, with Maori time and obviously Sparkling Success and your bloke now? Are we going to, you know, all of a sudden, well, it's not all of a sudden because there's been a lot of work going on for many years now, but all of a sudden we have got recognition as being a part of the world that can produce not only top-line paces, but top-line trotters as well?
Well, it's interesting you say that because Lazarus is up here, as you well know, and we walk past Lazarus every morning as we go out on the track, and we give Lazarus a wink as we go past, and Johnny Tactus says hello, and Orcus Banstead, and they all know that this trotter from Australia is up here and he's a big threat to go on next year. And I guess when you combine Lazarus winning recently in Canada and you throw Walkabout in, well, then there's two guns in Australia from the Southern Hemisphere flying the flag. And the wonders, we call them the wonders from down under. There's not one wonder, there's two wonders, and Walkabout's one of those.
What else? What have you done with the mare, with his mum? Is she back in foal?
Yeah, well, we've got a Trixton half-sister to Walkabout, and Trixton, the only races that were staked won by two-year-olds up here were Muscle Hill and Trixton here the other day. So we've got a Trixton half-sister. We've put her in foal to Elder Baron Eagle, which goes full circle to bring us back to America, and she'll go in foal to Muscle Hill again this year. So, and we've met the people that own Muscle Hill, and they're fully supportive of what we're doing. And we warned them when we were up here in early last year that we had a horse that could do a bit of damage. And they're shaking our hands and congratulating us on our vision and our effort to take them on up here. So the mayor is in fine fettle, and compliments to Melinda and Danny at Aldebaran Park. They do a wonderful job. And if it wasn't for their horse husbandry and their ability to look after the farm and produce this horse, then, you know, Australia should be thanking them, not just me.
Mate, when do you get back? Because I know that speaking with Troy Williams from the Trotters Association here in New South Wales, you're going to be guest of honour at their awards night in a week and a half's time. And I'm emceeing that function, so I'll be having a chat with you on the lounge. When do we see you back in Australia?
I'm leaving here Friday. We get back Sunday morning, and we'll have a couple of nights sleep, hopefully after another celebration. And with a bit of luck, we might have purchased another one up here at the yearling sales. And then, I'll be on a plane Friday. So we'll get 4 days rest before we come up. And we look forward to not only talking to the Trotting Association people in New South Wales, but making sure that people in Australia and New Zealand understand that there's an impact to be made up here. We can do it if we want to have a crack at it. And it's wonderful to see Lazarus at the top end of the paces, and obviously Walkabout at the top end of the juvenile trotting up here. So it's a great outcome and a fillip in the Aussie and the New Zealand cap.
Mate, congratulations on the win. Good luck this week, and I'll catch up with you when you get back home.
Look forward to it. Thanks, Craig, and thanks for the opportunity. And we look forward to a little bit of success. And if it comes, it comes. And if it doesn't, well, there's always next week. So we'll see how we go.
Beautiful, mate. Good luck. There he is, Duncan McPherson. He puts a lot of money into the sport of trotting. And good to see him getting some success over there. But how about that? A horse that was bred, fully American bred, but bred here in Australia. And they sent the horse unbroken from Australia back over to America to America, and the success they've had with him. Aldebaran Walkabout. I'll give you an update next week on the show and give you some idea on how he went. But just on that, I am emceeing the Trotters Association of New South Wales awards night on Friday week. That's at Penrith. So if you would like to come along, it should be a great night. Obviously, talking about the trotter, but last year, John Tapp emceed the night, and he caught up with Graham Lang, and he was the guest of honour and sat down on the couch, and they had a good chat for quite a lengthy chat during the night. So we're going to do something similar with Duncan this year. Of course, obviously, Duncan has the racing background. He's got plenty of horses through Aldebaran Farm or Aldebaran Park, and he's also behind that Teal campaign. So there's a lot to talk to Duncan about. He's also a very strong supporter of the Sydney Swans. A lot of people might not know that, but we'll talk with Duncan at that night coming up at Penrith on Friday week, and I think tickets are $90, and you can contact the Trotters Association for more details on that. Interesting that we saw Better Match dip his foot into the free-for-all racing at Kilmore last Thursday night when he took on the field in the Kilmore Cup. Unfortunately, the race wasn't run to suit. There was a lot of stop-start going on up front, and in the end, it was basically very hard for Better Match to get into the race. Interested to hear what Tim Butt thought of the run, and I noticed that he's also in the nominations for the Inter-Dominion, and Tim's joining me on the show. Morning, Tim.
Morning, Greg.
Mate, what did you make of Better Match last week?
Yeah, I think it was a pass mark, Greg. You know, he's an interesting horse, really, because, you know, even though he's a six-year-old stallion, he's quite lightly raced and quite lightly experienced on a top level. And, you know, I thought he was an adequate race, but, you know, it was hard to win or get close on those sectionals.
I went back and had a look at his form prior to the Kilmore Cup. He'd never competed in a race further than 1,758 metres prior to the run in the Kilmore Cup. So it obviously was something new for him as well, stretching out over the longer trip last Thursday.
Yeah, I think he'll handle that in time. You know, I just feel that you know, the travel down there, and he sort of didn't eat and drink as well as he could have, and you know, the experience did him the world of good. So I'd more put it down to that rather than the distance, you know. And you know, he's got to get used to that sort of racing if he's going to be competitive at the Grand Circuit.
So what are the plans with him now? I know that he's still in the New Zealand Cup. Is basically the New Zealand Cup trip off now?
It's pretty doubtful. He's had a go. I was just going to bring him home and put him beside him back in the work, but I've given him a week off down in a Ben start at Goulburn. He'll do terrifically well there. It's a great setup. So he'll go there for a week and then just come back and have a look at the grade racing at an angle. So, but, you know, I'm pretty keen on the end of Dominions if he's up to it.
Are you confident that he'd get through the four runs in the 2 weeks? That's not an issue with him?
Well, it's interesting. I'm still getting to know the horse, you know, and, you know, he's such a real talent. I think, you know, the ability's there. And as I said, you know, people don't realise he's not, you know, most of his racing as a two-year-old, and he's come along as a later horse, but he's still inexperienced and with travel and, you know, and hitting the ground running every start sort of thing. So, you know, dominated a lot of those races by leading. So, you know, he's got to learn to be adaptable, learn to travel, and, you know, we'll spend the next 3 to 6 months teaching him to do that.
What about, you've nominated another couple of runners for the Inter-Dominion. Italian Delight's one. What can you tell us about it?
Yeah, he's a pretty new horse. He raced in the, you know, a lot of four-year races in New Zealand, Easter and the Taylor Mile and the Jules. So, you know, while he wasn't quite up to that level, he's come over here and he's due to trial next week. He's a bit of a long-shot hope as well, but he's an N3 and, you know, a progressive type of horse. So it'll be interesting to see how he measures up too.
And Let It Ride, you've nominated him as well. Where's he coming along?
He's coming along great. You know, he's going to trial a week today. And, you know, the Via racing sort of on the 28th at Menangle. You know, and then I've got options from there. There's either more racing on the 3rd and the 10th at Menangle, or I may even pop down to Victoria for the 4 and 5 year old champs on the 10th. So that's 3 weeks before the end of it, so it'll be a nice little program.
You've said all along that Myfield Marshall most probably wouldn't go towards the Inter-Dominion, and that's been confirmed because he hasn't been nominated. You're just going to concentrate on the Miracle Mile, defending that title?
Pretty much. Stay in work, so you know, he's put on 87 kg, so he's done terrifically well on his break, and you know, he's a bit of a susceptible type of horse, so we'll just have to look after him a bit this season and pick out his races.
How long does he normally take to come to hand? If he's arrived back in work and today, his first day back, how long until we see him back at the races?
Oh, he'll be ready to trial in 2.5 months, so it'll be, you know, just before Christmas, and you know, there's that race at Bathurst. Temple, you know, Turnbull Memorial Race, so that's something to look at, and yeah, we'll just see where he fits in this year.
Okay, and just having a look at the Inter-Dominion trotting nominations, you've got Gentleman Sir. He's been a bit of a handful at his past couple.
Yeah, he has been. You know, he's the ability's there, but he's a bit like Ben Matz. He's very under experience. So you know, he's probably good enough to be in it. You know, and have a show of winning it if he's. He started putting things together, so you know, it's still a bit of water to go under the bridge between now and then, and you know, I wouldn't say he's a forlorn hope.
Is it just all in his head at the moment?
Well, he's a bit similar. He raced a lot in age group racing and mobiles back in New Zealand, and you know, bigger fields and a bit quieter sort of thing. Whereas a hustle and bustle and angle sort of, but he's got to learn to do that. And you know, I think he'll begin this week. I think it's just a bit of freshness and being away from the races so long.
All right. Well, all the best of luck with the team, and we look forward to seeing Let It Ride go around at the trials next Tuesday. There he is, Tim Butt, the trainer. He's got a very strong team around him. He's obviously got the defending Miracle Mile champ. Interesting that he arrived back at the stables yesterday, back in work today. Let It Ride trials next Tuesday. Italian Delight's one that we can look forward to. He's been nominated for the Inter-Dominion. And Better Match, he's just having a week's break, and then he comes back and he'll have a look at some races at Menangle. So interesting to hear from Tim Butt about his team. Just noticed that there was a release on the Victorian Trots website. Sky Racing World, the Louisville, Kentucky-based distributor of international horse racing content and subsidiary of Tabcorp, has launched harness racing from multiple Australian states in North America. From October 7, Sky Racing World's North American Advanced Depositing Wagering Partners will offer simulcast wagering on harness racing from Australia every Sunday and Monday night. Now, what I did notice when I've been over in America the last few times is that the gallops has beamed in, obviously late on an evening, after basically once, you know, races like when I've been at Hoosier Park, once that meeting finishes, they then pick up the coverage of the Australian racing. So you can stay at Hoosier Park until the early hours of the morning and bet on the Australian races if you'd like to. But this is great news that the North Americans are going to start receiving harness racing every Sunday and Monday night. So following harness horse Lazarus's winning debut on August 10 at Hoosier Park, United States racing fans' appetite for Southern Hemisphere harness racing has never been stronger. Sky Racing World will serve increased North American demand by providing simulcast wagering from major trot races in New South Wales, Victoria and South Australia to its more than 70 partners, including TVG, Twin Spires, ExpressBet, and there's a number of different betting companies involved there. There'll be bet types like a 20-cent trifecta combinations that'll remain consistent with those offered on standard Australian racing to the upcoming harness races. And it starts this Sunday at Maryborough. So that's in Victoria. And the following night's harness racing starts at 10:39 from Tabcorp Park, Menangle. So good to see that the harness racing in Australia is being opened up to North America. And again, follows on from the chat we were having with Duncan earlier, because the product, there is no doubt there is plenty of interest in the product in Australia and New Zealand. We've seen them buying plenty of our horses, not only the top level horses, but also the horses on a lower level, and I think that's going to only continue with the coverage that the Americans are going to get of harness racing going forward. So every Sunday and Monday night, so that'll be our Monday afternoon and our Tuesday afternoon programs. I wanted to have a chat with Michael Brown today and speak to him about the Indigenous Drivers Series that has got underway. The Caff and Plate has been a race that Michael Brown has been a massive supporter of, and it has got bigger and bigger each and every year. Heats, of course, run throughout the state, and they all come to Menangle on the Sunday after the awards night for what should be a fantastic final, and Michael Brown's joining me to have a chat. Morning, Michael.
Morning, Greg. How are you going, mate?
Mate, really well. Good to see the Indigenous Driver Series continue to get bigger each and every year, and it's back again this year.
Yes, mate, back again this year. It's actually, if I can say, it's going to be even bigger again this year. A lot of surprises in store, and it will be a massive day on the 28th of October at Menangle.
The series started last week at Wagga.
Yeah, last Friday night I went down there with the drivers. Jess Pryor won the first heat. She was absolutely just rapt that she actually won, because she missed out last year in the final. And she won the first heat, so she's got an automatic entry into it. And she was very, very nervous at the start, because I said to her, "You're actually on the $1.50 favourite," and she said, "Oh, don't tell me that." and then Jimmy Brown won the second heat, so he was again just rapt the fact that he could make the final again, because you know it all started with Jimmy talking to John Dumasy at the start, and then John rang me and said, "Brownie, you need to put your money where your mouth is," which I've done. So it's getting bigger and bigger.
So basically, the Indigenous drivers compete in heats around the state, and then what is it? Winners go through, the winning driver goes through to the final, the Caff and Plate on that 28th?
Kind of that way, yes. We have six heats. The first heats, as I said, were at Wagga on Friday night. Next set of heats are at Maitland on the 12th of October, Friday night. So there'll be two heats there, and hopefully, well, two winners, they'll go into the final. And then the 14th at Parks, there's number two heats, so there's six drivers will go to the final. Michaela Barnes, who was the winner last year, she gets an automatic invitation, but she must compete at Parks to be able to go to Menangle. So of the 16 drivers we got this year, we got then three spaces to be filled.
Right.
So six drivers will miss out on the final.
Okay.
So it's all very, very competitive.
No doubt. And good to see the drivers travelling too. There's, you know, with those heats at Wagga, Danny Scanlon made the trip, Courtney Sutherland made the trip, looking further down. Danny Gatt made the trip, Jack Wade went all the way down to Wagga. So the drivers are definitely getting right behind it.
Oh, mate, as I said, that's very, very competitive. Courtney Sullivan, she drove, I think, 9.5 hours with her father to get there. That's she was desperate to get the, into that first heat of series. And she'll be going to Maitland, and she's also going to Parks.
That's fantastic.
That's unbelievable. I mean, I remember a couple of years ago, Danny Gibson and Bevan Pringle, they went from Newcastle, drove all the way down that night to Wagga, then drove back to Newcastle that night. Then next night, at Newcastle they drove, and then went to Parks the next day, and then back to Newcastle.
That's
I think they did about 3,000 k's we worked down.
Wow.
So that's it really means something to these guys. Honestly, it does mean so much to these guys to be in that series.
And are you getting support from the Indigenous media as well?
Yeah, and NITV have always been supporting us from the start, and we've got them on board again this year. And we've also got Kari, who's a local Aboriginal group that look after young kids in the society. So they're on board as well. But we've got a lot of coverage. We've got new drivers again this year. We've got Todd Day has put his hand up. So he's competing, which he did at Wagga.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got Jack Davies, and Davis, I should say. And also this year we've got Hayden Green, who actually works for Kari, who's competing again.
Oh, that's fantastic. So they all want to win. The JC Caffin Plate, as you said, it's on that Sunday, the 28th of October. It's a $15,000 race, penalty-exempt event, C2 to C5. And there's plenty of bragging rights available if the driver can win. So looking forward to the series continuing at Parks on the 14th and Maitland on the 12th. Yep. And, mate, should be fantastic.
Yeah, as you know, Greg, they all drive in the Indigenous colours on the day that get handed out as well.
Yeah, of course.
It's good to see all these young kids also coming through, like Todd and Matt and Courtney, because they're our future in the business. So it's great to see these young kids coming through as well and putting their hand up and want to compete.
Mate, great to see you supporting it once again, and we look forward to that big final, the JC Caffin Plate on the 28th.
Yeah, well, it's eight for you, Greg.
Amazing. It time flies, doesn't it?
Doesn't it, Jess?
It does. Yes. Well, mate, thanks for that, and catch up with you again very soon.
Great, thank you.
And there is Michael Brown, the man behind the JC Caffin Plate in its eighth year. And good luck to all of the drivers involved in that series. Yesterday, of course, was the Canola Cup, my favourite country day of racing in New South Wales each and every year. The Canola Cup was taken out by Three Summers for Russell Jack and David Moran. He was a short price favourite. I think he was about $1.50, and he proved too strong for Now I See for Amanda Turnbull. And Walk on Kimmy, who was backing up from racing at Menangle on Saturday night, finished third in that race. But it was a mile rate of 158.6. Some fantastic horses in the past have won the Canola Cup. And Three Summers has been racing some very talented horses towards the end of last season. Went round in the semi-finals of the Breeders' Crown. Was only beaten 14 metres in the semi-final, and was racing some of the top three-year-olds. So was obviously set for the race and proved too strong. And the first time we've seen a Victorian take it out, he chased home Poster Boy Ignatius Maritai in that semi-final. So he was able to take out the Canola Cup final yesterday. Look, there has been, I'll wrap up in just a moment, there has been some discussion about the New Zealand bred horses being taken out of the Tab Carnival of Cups races up to C4 level. So basically any of the feature or C5 and better, it's open to any horse. It can be New Zealand bred. But basically anything under that, for the Carnival of Cups meetings only, there is Australian bred horses. So look, there's obviously been a little bit of a kickback from some parts of the industry who like to go over and buy those horses from New Zealand and come across and race. You know, if you go and have a look at what happens in other parts of the world, there is always some advantage in all jurisdictions given to the locally bred horses. I haven't really got a problem with it. It's only 26 meetings in the year, and I think it's a good thing. I think it should actually go even further. I think there should be an advantage for New South Wales bred horses on a Saturday night at Menangle where they get a proportion of their stakes earned in the last five reduced by, say, 10% to give an advantage to the New South Wales bred horses. I think that's something that they do in Canada. They do in the US to look after their breeding, and I think it's something we can look at here. People are obviously going to disagree with that and say they get a big enough advantage already. I think it's something that Harness Racing New South Wales should be looking at. Anyway, that wraps up another On the Pace, Cozzy, and I'll be back again next Tuesday. We'll give you a wrap-up of what happens to Aldebaran Walkabout on Friday morning, and we'll also start looking at some of the feature races which are just around the corner, including the Victoria Cup.
Terrific. Good on you, Greg. Talk to you next Tuesday.
Thank you, mate.
Greg Hayes on the Pace. It's 11:03, Sky Sports Radio.